Welcome to the May 23rd, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is Youth Sunday. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We have ushers coming down the aisle now. If you are a guest this morning, we would like to give you a little information about our church.
We ask any guest to raise your hand and our ushers will give you a packet of information.
This packet tells you about who we are and several things that we do.
We hope that this worship service will be especially meaningful to you. Thank you for coming.
Good morning. I'm Becca Christ, and I am the youth group intern for the summer, and welcome to Youth Sunday. Everyone has worked really hard to get what we have today. We've noticed that as a youth group, we've struggled with judging, and we'd like to address that by trying to get back to unity, and we feel that by addressing this, we'd like the church to follow us, and we need to move as Christians from judgment and stereotypes to unity in Christ. So we hope that you enjoy everything that we've put on today and that you take something away from our message.
I have a question. How many of you are excited to be here this morning? Okay, that was a try. We were just trying out. That was a test. Let's try it one more time. How many of you are excited to be here this morning? How many of you believe that God is alive and well and working in Winston-Salem? I know that he's working in our youth group and in our church. We're going to sing some songs that we want you to just kind of listen to, and the words are going to be on the screen. If you know it, you can sing. Some, we want you to stand up and sing with us. But this song, God is Alive, our call to worship, explains exactly why we're worshiping today.
I have been suffering. God is alive. to impress. If you want the truth, I need to confess.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading from Romans 2, verses 1 through 8. I'll give you a second if you want to turn there with me. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. So when you are a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who are persistent in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger.
Dear God, we know that when we judge others, we don't show your love, and I pray that you will speak through all of us this morning and guide and help us to learn to love each other's differences. Please open our hearts to the message told this morning so we can lead the service with a better understanding of the love you want us to show to all people. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Kelsey Phillips, and I am a senior at Mount Tabor. As many of y'all know, I am a band nerd, and I'm proud of it. At first, I didn't want to be a band nerd. I mean, look at this thing. It's not the most attractive thing. At the beginning of my freshman year, I received a phone call from Mr. Howard saying, "Hello, Kelsey? This is she. I heard that you were interested in marching band and was wondering if you were still interested." I didn't know what to say. I mean, a million things went through my head. I mean, this guy didn't know me, so if I didn't do it, would he still like me? I mean, this could be my reputation ruined for the next portion of my life. So all of a sudden, words just started coming out of my mouth. Yes, I would love to do marching band. Where was this coming from? I said yes? Me, Kelsey Phillips, said yes? I could not believe it. But I was worried all summer long that I was going to be judged for being a band nerd. And I wouldn't have any friends. I'd be that stereotypical weird band girl that never has any friends or sits alone at lunch. But looking back at the 4 years I spent in marching band, I learned a lot about myself. People may have judged me for the band girl, but I didn't care. I don't look like the regular band person. I enjoyed band so much that I became woodwind captain my senior year. And God gave me these gifts for a reason, and I need to show others that I have the ability to play music, and I enjoy these gifts. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, it says, "Judge not, that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you shall be judged, and the measures you give shall be measured you receive." Thanks.
Come to our first congregational song this morning. You will find an insert that has the words to this song. We're doing God of Wonders. You can also see the words that are up here on the screen. And some of you may be familiar with this song. I want to teach you the chorus. It's
God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Can y'all sing that with me?
God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Then the next line is,
you are holy, holy.
Sing that with me.
You are holy, holy.
The God of wonders.
God.
Oh, sorry.
The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth.
Repeat that.
Lord of heaven and earth.
See, you already sing it, so why don't we stand up and sing it together?
Thank you. sinners that have fallen short of the glory of God, but here are three excuses you can use to judge people. The call of duty excuse. I would stop judging people, but the people I see are so worthy of judgment that I feel like it's my duty to judge them. The different excuse. I will stop judging people, like me, but all the weird people out there that are different than me, I've still got to judge them. I mean, look at them. Who knows what they're up to? I bet they're all going to hell. And finally, the for their own good excuse. Only for advanced excuse givers. Yeah, I judge people all the time, and I'm not going to stop, because it helps them. People are all going to face judgment on Judgment Day, so when I judge people, it's like giving them a reminder to get ready for God's judgment. I do it for their benefit. The Christian's Guide to Excuses, wishing you good luck and great excuses.
I'm reading from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Henson. As you know, our theme this morning is judgment. So I want to look at judgment from a little different angle. As many of you know, I'm the middle of three children. I have an older sister, Maggie, and a younger brother, William. Many people think me and Maggie are twins. It's always, "Are you two twins?" or "You two look exactly alike." The most obvious differences are that I have blonde hair and blue eyes, while she has brown hair and hazel eyes. And I've grown a couple inches taller than her in the past couple years. My brother William is 3 years younger than me. He's basically the boy version of us looks-wise. Needless to say, we all look very similar. With all this being said, throughout the years, I've been known as a variety of things, from Maggie's little sister to Mini Maggie, was my nickname the first few months in the youth group, or by all the teachers that had Maggie before me, I was Maggie, I think you're Elizabeth. Don't get me wrong, I love my sister, but I wanted to be known as my own person. For many years, people judged what kind of person I was based on what Maggie had done before me. This wasn't a bad thing. Maggie was always a good role model for me, but I simply wanted to be my own person because we had different interests. For example, as a child, Maggie was always the animal person. She watched 101 Dalmatians and played with stuffed animals. For me, I preferred playing with dolls and playing doctor. Maggie always did gymnastics and rode horses while I've been the dancer in the family. It's always bothered me that people judged me and assumed I was just Maggie made over and I didn't have my own identity. In some ways, it seems the trend's repeating itself. More recently, I'm known as William's sister. William and I may look alike, but for the most part, we're completely different. William's always the one who loves the spotlight. He never meets a stranger. He's always the outgoing one, ready to play his guitar and sing at any time. Me, on the other hand, I'm the shyer one in the family. On many occasions, I'm sitting in the front row as his biggest fan. So, as you can see, I'm way out of my comfort zone this morning, standing up here. Throughout my life, I've done many things in an attempt to distinguish myself. As a 5-year-old, I convinced my parents to sign me up for T-ball, a sport that had never been played by anyone in our household. This was completely out of character for me. Or on the first day of kindergarten, after my teacher called me Maggie the whole day, I came home and told my mom we had to cut my hair that day. Unfortunately, cutting my hair didn't get me my name back, as I thought it would. As I've gotten into high school, I've tried to get involved in things that I was interested in. Maggie was always in marching band, but I didn't think that was the place for me. I chose to join things like art club, things that I liked that I could use to express myself. Through all this, I've wanted people to see me as my own person, not just the sister of Maggie or William. Oftentimes, just as I've tried to be different from my siblings, we all put on different faces to try and distinguish ourselves from the crowd. But it's what's inside our hearts that's important. This is what we will ultimately be judged on. We all have different personalities and talents, but we should all strive to use our differences to work together for God. God sees what's on the inside. I want people to see me as God sees me, not just on my appearance or the family that I belong to. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." I've wanted people to realize that though we may look alike, we're each different people with our own personalities and own interests. After all, as most parents know, no two children are the same. So instead of judging someone on how they're different from you, we should realize that we're all different. Though we may be different, we're all here for the same purpose, to live for God. So whether you've watched me grow up in this church or you're seeing me for the first time today, I'm the middle Henson child, Elizabeth.
Our next congregational song, you'll see that printed in your insert, is called Revelation Song. We want to teach you again the chorus. So there's verses that go along with this, but it's easiest to teach you the chorus. And it's a real simple chorus. Brooks will help me teach you.
Holy, 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 it's the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Sing that with us.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
And then we go.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Can we put all that together? Let's try more.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
You are my everything, and I will adore you.
nation I sing. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Creation I sing, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come here into your house and shout songs of praise to your glorious name. We thank you that we have a church that is willing to let us lead worship. Lord, I pray that this week we will go out and remember the sacrifice you gave us in your Son Jesus. We thank you and we love you. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
I believe in the I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13 and 17. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's house have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into fractions? Was I Paul crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you. For in verse 17, For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ will lose its power. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing each of us here today and for giving us the ability to praise you and your Son. Please help us to agree with each other so we will not be divided, but we will be perfectly united with one another and in Christ. Amen.
Hey, I'm Russ Rose. I wanted to tell you about a time when we experienced judgment. It was our spring retreat, and we went to Camp Marywood in Clemens. And for our service, we were going to go downtown and throw a block party for the homeless people that live in downtown Winston. And the first thought, in at least my mind, I can't speak for everybody else in the youth, but the first thought in my mind was this may be a little bit of an awkward experience because it's people that are different than us, and it's not something you ordinarily experience. So we were setting up for the block party, and we had tables set up, and we had different games and different stations for everyone to go to. And I was at the bingo station, and a couple walks up, and I'm sitting at a table, and they sit down, and they start talking to me. And I just sit there and listen, and they wanted somebody to talk to, I guess, because they just started telling me their whole life story. And they were telling me about a few weeks ago they'd just gotten married, and they were real excited about that. And I realized during that conversation and a little bit after working with them that everybody's the same, and you can't judge them off of where they live or how they look or how they act just on their first impression. You have to really get to know that person. And I learned that these people are just like us. They're just not as fortunate as they have the same personalities that a lot of people that we know have, and it's just something you have to look past and get to know that person really well. And I have a scripture that I wanted to read. It's from Romans 14, 10 and 13. Why do you judge your brother? Or what do you look down on your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve that no man put a stumbling block or a hindrance in his brother's way. I want y'all to think about that as you go on the next few weeks, and think about all the new people that you meet, and don't judge them off of their first impression. Get to know them well and become friends with them.
Hey, I'm Tyler Lee, of course, and talking about judgment. Just going to give you guys a brief summary of this last week. Jeff told me that I was speaking on Wednesday. And so I was just like, all right, sounds good. He's like, all right, I want you to type it out, plan it, know what you're going to say and everything. I was like, okay, I'll do that, Jeff, I'll do that. Jeff calls me Friday. I'm sitting at Chick-fil-A. He's like, hey, man, how's that speech coming? You ready? And I was like, yeah. Thought about it. Yeah, I got it. He's like, all right, I'll put some stuff on Facebook for you, some scriptures and everything, so you know what you're talking about. I was like, okay, all right. Go to Facebook, check it out. I was like, okay, that's what I need. That's what I need to get. Sunday morning rolls around. Jeff comes talk to me. Has that speech coming, man? You got it typed out and everything? And I was like, no. So I didn't have it typed out or anything, so I'm just going to talk about judgment. And I want to talk about the spring retreat that we did. I was on a group that did the prayer walking and trash talking, which was when we were downtown Winston. We had to go out into our community and pick up trash and pray for people and buildings. And first, this whole thing about judgment, that was like a big thing right there, judging. I was kind of judging ourselves. We all had on these green shirts walking around downtown Winston. I was like, oh, my gosh. These people are about to look at us like we're crazy. But everything went well. We went around praying, and I was just thinking how people would look at us as we were going around the community picking up trash and everything, and just seeing, like, how homeless people were. And a lot of times you wouldn't think of going up to a homeless person and talking to them and just saying, hey, how are you doing? How's your day going? When really you're judging them on, wow, that person messed up their life and look what they're doing with themselves now. When really we're the ones that, like, that could be us, and we're not really thankful enough. It's kind of hit home to me when I was going around picking up trash and talking and everything. Another judgment situation was, I think at school with teens a lot, we all get judged on just the cliques that we hang out with and sports that we play. And me, I play basketball and football at school, so automatically people think I'm stuck up kid that just not cool to talk to, he'll just blow me off or something like that. When I really try to expand out and be different from that stereotype. So I try to talk to the kids and not let them judge me or stereotype me as much. So, yeah, that's judgment.
We're going to do a song called A Solution. And you've heard some of the teenagers talk about experiences that they've faced or when they've been judged or they have judged others. And so many times judgment, when we judge people, or it comes out of our own security, insecurities, our own failures, our own mistakes. We try to look at other people and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Or we begin to compare ourselves and judge others. And as our theme verse, Galatians 3:28 says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about a song that we could do to kind of drive home the point that the solution for all of our problems, no matter what we face, no matter our age, no matter our economic circumstance, no matter what we're facing today, the solution that we have right here at our fingertips is Jesus Christ. And that's what this song is about. You'll see the words on the screen. This is just a song we want you to think about and consider as you think about how God is using you where you are. This is called Solution.
Broken nation's dream. dream. Only you can take a widow's cry. We'll be right back.
this morning. I have to confess, it is, this is a tough worship service. Not because it's Youth Sunday. Youth Sundays are easy. But it's dealing with something that is difficult for all of us. We are united in Christ. Now, to be honest, I need you to be honest for just a minute. When you came into worship this morning, how many of you, oh my goodness, it's Youth Sunday. What are they going to do this time? Oh, they've got, Andrew, put your hand down. They got the things on the windows. You immediately began in your mind thinking certain thoughts. Right? Right. Some positive, some not so much. It is because Youth Sunday, y'all give the youth ministry a little bit of liberty to do something a little different. And we appreciate that. And so, you know, as we began to think about a few weeks ago, what message do we want to communicate? And it was more than Wednesday, Tyler. we began weeks ago preparing for this, even when I was on maternity leave, Tyler. We were preparing for this. And so I asked the youth a question. I said, you know, what is the message that we have been dealing with, we've been struggling, what could we communicate? When you think about Youth Sunday, what are all those things that come to your mind? And one of the thoughts that came was, you know, some of the things that we have been struggling with as a youth group is issue of judgment, of separation, of looking at somebody other than how God looks at them. We begin to criticize. We begin to look negatively at other people. That's something that, to be honest, I struggle with. Our youth group struggle with. So this is a result of what God's doing in us. We are united in Christ is what we hope to be. It's not what we are all the time, but it's what we hope to be. And we struggled with, you know, how do we judge people? I mean, the youth had to take a serious look at their own lives. How do we judge people? By race? By gender? By what school you go to? By how much money you make? By the things that the people that you hang out with? There's so many ways that we can be separated. And that's the same for us, right? I mean, don't you do the same thing? I mean, we drive, you know, the homeless that we work with at a couple months ago at the spring retreat. We see them on the corners, the people that are asking for money. We immediately, in our minds, we may not say it, but in our minds, we have thoughts about those people. Don't we? Don't we immediately judge them? And I was telling the youth that judgment is that act of separation. When we judge someone, we look at somebody differently than us. We have become separated from them. When Jesus on the cross came to restore us to be united, not only to God the Father, but all of humanity. Galatians 3:28, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I wonder this morning, where are you? You know, we judge a lot of things a lot of ways. When you came into worship this morning, when you go out to lunch and you see other people, we form judgments about them. And our challenge for this morning and for every day is for the people that you come in contact with, family, friends, neighbors, strangers. Do we see them as God sees them? Who in your life do you not see that way? Who have you done something to that you need to ask forgiveness for? Who have you neglected that you need to ask forgiveness for? Who have we looked at other than the way God looks at them? God calls us to be united. I was a friend of mine and I were headed to an event back in my hometown a couple weeks ago. And I have not seen him since high school. And good friend from high school. We sang a lot together, and he's just a great guy. And Larry is, he's African American, and it was nothing for us to be friends. And I remember all the many stories that we had growing up and all the ways he would embarrass me. And if you know Barry, everybody's heard Barry White's voice before. Larry has Barry White's voice. I mean, it's off the piano octave. I mean, he's low. Hey, baby. I mean, it's low. I mean, that is who Larry was. And I hadn't caught up with him, and I didn't know that he lived in Greensboro. And I just found this out a couple months ago, and we heard about this thing back home. And so we went a couple Friday nights ago, and I got to spend some time with him and found out that God was doing amazing work in his life. And he didn't know that I was in the ministry. It had been that long since we talked, and I didn't know what he was doing. And we just talked for 2 hours there and 2 hours back. And he and I have a very similar heart. And I think about he began telling this story. He said, God has just really burdened me, Larry's talking, that Sunday morning, that is our church, the church that he goes to, looks nothing like heaven's going to look like. He said it's primarily African-American church. And there may be two or three Caucasian white people there. But the church leadership not really interested in making church look like heaven. And it was an interesting thing to coming from, and because the same thing, it's the Sunday morning is the time when this kind of looks like heaven. We get to sing a little bit, we get to praise a little bit, but it's going to look very different, because all of God's people, regardless of where you come from, how much money you had on this earth, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, we are saved. And this morning, I wonder, how is God speaking to you? Who is he putting on your heart that you need to get right, to ask forgiveness from, to seek forgiveness from? How have you judged someone? How have I judged someone wrongly? And in doing so, removed us from being united. We're going to sing a song in just a minute. This is our song of invitation. It's an old Fanny Crosby song that's in the bulletin, but that's in the hymnal. It's not quite the same in there, but you may notice the tune. And the words are going to be on the screen. The words are there in your bulletin. This is a song of invitation. Our youth challenge to you: are you united with your brother and your sister in Christ? What is that thing that God has been convicting your heart from to change? He wants us to get it right. To not to judge, not to criticize, but to get it right. We are united in Christ. This is your opportunity. In just a minute, Raymond is going to come down. He's going to be down front as we play this song. You're welcome to come. The prayer, the kneeling benches are there on the side. You can go there. You can pray where you are. You can come to talk to him. How is God moving you to be reunited to him and to each other? I'm going to pray, and then the altar is open. We're going to, after the prayer, we'll stand and we'll sing, and however God moves, I pray that you don't deny what he wants to do in your life. Let's pray together. Father, convict me this morning of the times when I have criticized others, when I have looked at someone else and not seen them as you see them, as a person that you made with purpose. Help me when I have failed. Help me when I've seen my neighbor as someone other than myself. Loving you with everything we have doesn't mean we can pick and choose who we love in this world. Jesus even said that we had to love our enemies. That we had to love our neighbor as ourselves. Show us this morning how we are not doing that. How we have failed you in the past. Lead us this morning to make changes for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? It is a great joy for me to be able to be the student minister here at College Park, to work with these young people and to work with so many wonderful people here in our church. We thank you for the opportunity that you give to us each year to come and to lead and to kind of see what we've been doing and dealing with. We're very thankful for that. There are a lot of people that it takes to do youth ministry. There are a lot of volunteers, a lot of people who are prayer partners with our youth, who work week after week or spend time chaperoning trips. And so I'd like for anybody who is a prayer partner, who works on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you've chaperoned a trip in the last year, what if you've worked with our youth, if you've prayed for our youth in any capacity, you've given snack supper, if you're a parent of a youth, anything at all, would you just please stand right where you're at? You do not hear enough how thankful that we are for you. We could not do youth ministry without you. Teenagers, I need you to look around, look up behind you and up in the balcony. There's a lot of people who work very hard to provide financially, to provide prayers, provide support. It's because of you that we can do things like barbecues and to go to places like New York City and to go to Winston-Salem and do mission projects and try to put Christ into these young people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we give them a round of applause? Now, there are two people I need to especially recognize. As many of you know, we have our intern ministry, that we have school year interns, that work part time with our youth and our children. Then we also have our summer interns. I need to, see Joe Burnett and Sarah Buchanan. I need for y'all to come down. Come on. Come on. Y'all come stand down here. Joe and Sarah, work with our youth this school year. And, hey, Ashton, did you finish those things? Those cards? Oh. Okay, good. Would you come give them to Joe and Sarah? Okay. Joe and Sarah work very hard each week to help our young people. Give them a hug when you give it to them. Okay, good. All right, we also have, this is Joe Burnett, Sarah Buchanan. Give them a round of applause. Kind of awkward standing in front of everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Don't go anywhere. All right. They have worked extremely hard, and they have kind of rotated off for the school year as our summer interns have come on. We want to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to come by and to shake their hands, hug their necks, thank them. They have just done a fabulous job this year, and I'm excited about what God is doing in them. Part of this intern ministry is helping God help them find their path and what God wants to do in them, whether it's ministry in the church, ministry where they work, and it's been a very successful year. We have two others I want to recognize, Casey Prophet and Becca Christ. Y'all need to come on forward, please. Stand beside these other two. Becca is our family ministry intern with youth. They just started this past week. Casey is our family ministry intern with children, and they have already worked very hard because summer is here. And many things are coming, and so we're very excited for them. We're going to have a time of prayer over them because as they begin their ministry, as Joe and Sarah move to do some things elsewhere here in the church and other places. So they're not leaving, right? Because you're not leaving. They're staying around. So you can still take them out to lunch or something, whatever. We're excited about our interns. This is why we're excited, because this afternoon at 4 o'clock, one of our own is being ordained into the ministry, Ward Page. That is why we do these things. So this is a big day. And so God should be praised for what he's doing. We're going to have a prayer for these two. And then Claudia is going to come up. Claudia, are you ready for the benediction? Okay. Claudia, come on up here, girl. I'm going to pray for them. She's going to have our benediction. And then you can come forward and speak to these interns. Thank you so much. Teenagers, y'all make me very, very proud. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for so many people who have worked so very hard to make today possible. But most importantly, you. Without Jesus dying on the cross, we would have no purpose for being here. Without Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected, we would have no message to give. But that is the good news that unites us all. Father, as these interns have considered the will that you have for them, whether during the school year or upcoming this summer, I pray specifically that you would speak directly to them. We thank you for Joe and for Sarah and how they have worked so hard working for you and helping these young people, shining the light of Christ into their lives. Bless them and whatever you have for them as they continue to seek out your will. Father, we thank you for Casey. We thank you for Becca and what they've already done in our church and what they're about to do. Let us all be your hands and feet. Thank you for this church that gives us the opportunity to do this, to do all of this, to have interns, to do Youth Sunday, ultimately to worship and to be united as Christ. We love you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for being here today. I hope you get something out of our message. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning, a time to worship you and learn more about your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for College Park and what it means to each youth here this morning. We are thankful for the love and support that the youth receive from our families, staff, and church members. As we prepare for this week, we ask for your love and protection to follow us each day. Be with us that we might be a bright light in a dark world. Bless us and guide us and keep us safe. Forgive us of our sins. You are God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen.
One real quick thing before you leave. We got to get the sanctuary back by 4 o'clock to look like it normally does. So any help that you guys can provide, we would be thankful for. Thank you. Have a good day.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.